Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CHCHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, October 5th, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Slingbox. Watch your favorite TV shows when you're away from home with Slingbox. Check out Slingbox at a Best Buy near you or visit slingbox.com/twit. And by Carbonite. Backing up your files on your PC or Mac is safe and easy with Carbonite. For a free trial plus 2 free months with purchase, go to carbonite.com, offer code TNT. Hey, welcome to Tech News Today. I am Becky Worley.
I'm Tom Merritt.
Jammer B is behind the boards.
Hello.
Hey, John. And joining us via Skype is Lance Ulanoff, editor-in-chief of PC Magazine. Hey, Lance.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for joining us. Tom, you are in the Big Apple.
I just flew in, and my arms aren't tired because I was on a plane. But, I had just walked into the hotel room, sat down, plugged in the laptop, turned it on, ready to go. So that's why Becky's
running the show. You are slightly dropping out, but we will do the best to bring in as much Tom Merritt as we can. Remember, this is the show where we kick around the day's tech news, and we start off today. Microsoft has an announcement more than we thought coming up. We told you that this coming Monday, Microsoft has Steve Ballmer and a few other bigwigs with a Windows Phone 7 rollout. It's happening in New York and in London. But now the rumor mill says maybe more. Maybe an announcement about Slate computers.
The person whom you're trying to reach.
Oh, you know what? The Skype lady wanted to join us, but you know, we'll let her come in later. Maybe she heard that reference to London. But the folks over at Neowin saying Microsoft's going to hint at future Slate plans, and CEO Steve Ballmer basically confirming it because he was speaking at the London School of Economics and said, "We as a company will need to cover all form factors. You'll see slates with Windows on them. You'll see them this Christmas." So, Lance, Mary Jo Foley saying maybe she's really the sort of Microsoft, if you will, the queen of all things Microsoft. And she says maybe, but maybe not their full rollout. What do you think?
Well, I don't think they're going to do a full rollout. I think that's kind of wishful thinking on all of the Microsoft watchers. Microsoft absolutely positively has to start to get its partners and its act together where tablets slash slates are concerned. It is like Apple is eating their lunch and everybody's around it. You know, iPad sales are through the roof. Everybody's got them. I've got one. When you have HP, which showed a Windows 7 slate, you know, Steve Ballmer showed it off last year. They've stepped away from it. They're not going to do it. You know, Microsoft has to do something. Now, this was supposed to be a Windows Phone 7 or Windows 7 phone event. And that platform looks so different than Microsoft Windows 7. I always thought it'd be a great tablet, but it wasn't supposed to be about slates. I think they just feel like they got to do something. They've got to tease people. But I'll be really shocked if there's more than sort of a directional statement going on there, because Microsoft doesn't want to get embarrassed again. They need a product, and they need a product to show up very shortly after they show it off.
Yeah, and that's the question. Is this going to be the same devices that they showed off earlier this year at Computex or at some of the other events? And is it going to actually have its own operating system? Or is this going to be running Windows Embedded Compact 7? And those are two different things. And will that affect sort of the overall perception of them in the market?
Well, the perception is that Microsoft is behind. But I got to say, we don't need another operating system. Please don't introduce a third operating system. We've got Windows 7 and we've got the mobile version. We've got Windows Phone 7, which is sort of this embedded thing. That's enough. You've got actually a really interesting interface there. Let's try it out on the platform, on a slate, and let's get that marketplace, you know, the Zune marketplace that's empty, the app market. Let's get some apps in there. And let's get some apps in there right now, because people are carrying around prototypes of Windows Phone 7. They're going to have more of them coming out. That'll get people excited for the slate, because the direction you go for a slate or tablet device is from the smaller device to the slightly larger device. You don't come from the other direction. I think that's the lesson that Microsoft is learning.
Yeah, and I think we were just looking at an image of Bill Gates holding up a tablet from way back when CES, and they learned the lesson the hard way. They brought it in too early, and now they're too late. It almost seems kind of tragic for Microsoft in this respect. I should mention that Tom has sort of fallen off the edge of the earth with Skype, and also falling off the edge of the earth, LG has announced it will not be releasing a tablet device with Android on it this year. Earlier this year, they said they would be releasing an Android tablet, but now it sounds like they're going to delay it, and this further strengthens rumors that Android 3, codenamed Gingerbread, I love that, will come down the pike soon. And this is really going to be about tablet-friendly Android devices. And we're going to skip right ahead to more Android news. Skype finally released for Android. This just coming down today. The download is available in the Android Marketplace on Wednesday, or you can go to the Skype website. It's free. And caveats abound on this. You have to have Android 2.1 or higher. Inside the U.S., you can only make calls over Wi-Fi. No 3G calling yet. Outside of the U.S., 3G and Wi-Fi calling available. And also, Fring, the competing VoIP calling program, is available for Android starting today. And this is interesting. 1 cent-a-minute calls to and from any carriers. No connection fees. No VAT. No taxes. Any data connection, Wi-Fi, 3G, 4G. So this sort of war that's playing out, Lance, on the mobile phones with these calling programs, what is the impact? Why does the consumer care? And what is the battle for Android in this format?
Well, Android is kind of a weird space because, as you noted, so it's not... You know, Skype is not going to work on all different versions of Android. That's Android's biggest problem, is that it's a fractured platform. So different products come out. And even though they come out, last week, a month ago, even today, some of them have 1.6, some of them have 2.1, some of them have 2.2, which makes it very difficult for partners to deliver something all at once to the entire Android marketplace, which I think is not a good thing. All the limitations that we talked about at Skype, when you can't do things in the U.S. on the sort of 3G networks or the standard networks, that's because the carriers don't want you to. They can do that stuff in Europe. It's usually easier. Fring is interesting because Fring is sort of trying to go its own way. You wonder if after they come out and they allow people to do all this stuff, if a month from now they get shut down or they get blocked in some way.
Yeah, and that's what's happened in the past with them. The cross-platform with Skype. Skype blocked them. And this seems like a real challenge as a consumer. You're trying to figure out which platform, which program, and third-party apps coming in to try and fill the void. One move that I thought was really kind of unique was yesterday, T-Mobile announced one of their new MyTouch phones. And it's a great Android phone. It'll run on the HSPA Plus network. And what really interested me is that it has a front-facing camera, and it's going to come with software you can download on your computer so you can make phone-to-PC video calling. Now, this is in Wi-Fi networks or in cell phone networks. And this is the thing I'm waiting for. When do we get a real viable video calling opportunity from phones? FaceTime to other iPhone 4 FaceTime phones? That's not good enough for me. I think there has to be some ability to cross between PCs and phones and between multiple carriers and multiple programs. Is it going to be an app? Is it going to be a phone? Is it going to be a platform? What do you think?
This is all about business. It's just the technology is probably easier than getting everybody to get along. Everybody wants to own this business. You see all these phones coming out with these multiple cameras to do video calling. The pipes are big enough now. The cellular broadband can handle it. So that's not the limitation. The technology is there. They all know how to do it. The phones are going to come out. But the carriers are concerned. Apple doesn't want to allow the iPhone to call other phones, with this technology, because they want to encourage people to buy their products. They want to keep them within the ecosystem. I don't know how long that can last. Watching T-Mobile and what they're doing now with these sort of innovative approaches where you say, hey, how about if you could call from your T-Mobile phone to a PC? Or how about, as they did with At Home, if you're carrying your phone around, you're on a call, you walk into your house and it switches to your Wi-Fi network, and suddenly you're not being charged the same, the call rates. You know, that's innovative. That's smart thinking for the consumer, but not all of the competitors are thinking this way. It's like everything else in technology lately. Everybody wants their own piece of the pie, and nobody understands that they're all sitting at the same table.
Android getting a larger piece of the pie. This, according to Nielsen's August data, it's the most popular phone OS in recent sales. Among people who bought a smartphone in the past 6 months, the numbers are pretty impressive. 32% of smartphones purchased were Android phones. Then we're looking at basically a statistical tie for Apple iOS phones. Well, I guess that would be iPhone 4 in the last 6 months, relatively, and RIM phones. They both had 26% for RIM and 25% for iPhones. So, you know, this is a continuation of this trend we're seeing of Android phones coming out. This data just out today. Then when you look at total market share, BlackBerry holding on. They're still in front. They've got 31% of all the smartphones that are in service on the market right now. Apple has 28%, Android 19%. So, you know, the question, Lance, how high do you see this trajectory going for Android? Are they, you know, when is the overtake point going to come? How fast is this rise going to happen?
Android's going to keep going up. They're working with a lot of different partners. They're continuing to deliver high quality, very sexy phones, you know, full screen, touch screen, high resolution, slide out keyboards, virtually any feature you can think about. They're thin enough. They're gorgeous enough. They look as good and work as good in many ways as, say, an iPhone 4. And when you look at the RIM side of the equation, you know, their big market share is all based on phones that were basically given away. You know, I like RIM's products. I like BlackBerry's. I'm carrying a BlackBerry Torch. But they got that big chunk because it was very easy to get not one curve, but two curves with a contract for more or less nothing. So that accounts for their market saturation. But what's going to happen is I don't think the Torch is enough for them to sort of hold on to it. As much as I like the Torch, they didn't make it entirely cutting edge. They didn't put a fast enough processor in there. They didn't make it a high enough resolution screen. Those things are going to hurt them because consumers are actually starting to notice these things because they're using these phones as portable computers. Android phones, by and large, work. But Android, like I said before, they want to be a market leader. They need to get their house in order. They need to start to work more closely with the partners and really encourage them to, at the very least, say, update your OS before you come out. Make it as close as possible. We can't have these big distances. It's a big, big problem. And there's also the lack of consistency. Understand that you have a lot of different interfaces on Android. You have the basic, and then you have TouchSense, and you have these other screens. So people modify them too. That can hurt them sort of on that trajectory. But I don't see it slowing down. I think they're going to keep doing well.
Despite the market share wars going on in the mobile sector, there is a bit of cooperation today. Google Goggles is out for the iPhone. This is built right into the Google app for iPhone, and now it is fully operational. And I've been checking it out. Works pretty well. Eileen was out trying it out, and she thinks, hey, maybe this might be a good QR code scanner. Just a nice little feature. Robert Scoble was using it. He's been tweeting about it. Says, yeah, you know what? We've got barcode scanning. Works great. So that's built into the iPhone now. And just a little update on some of the apps for iPhone. Very cool.
What does Google Goggles do?
Oh, who is that? Is that the Tom Merritt? Are you back?
Yeah, I'm not. I ain't sending you video though. That'll be the death of me.
We'll take your audio, man. We can't scan you with Goggles.
What is the Google Goggles like? What's the one liner on that?
Well, the premise is that you use the camera in your phone to take photos of things if you want to identify them. So, a building in a foreign city, you could take a picture of it, and it will scan Google Images and give you a search result. You can take a picture of a barcode or an ISDN number, I think, and the cover of a book, yeah, and it'll tell you what it is and give you search results. It's basically
because there was the other Google Goggles. I always get confused because there was the other Google Goggles that would lock you out of your email after a certain time at night that you set, unless you could solve a math problem.
That was the beer goggles
app. I was
going
to say, that was the drinking one.
Yeah.
You are confused. By the way, Tom, I almost knocked over the bottle of tequila on your desk, and I rescued it just in time. Otherwise, your legacy has been preserved here in the absence.
I can't go anywhere, can I?
No, pretty much. You cannot. We can now go and thank our sponsor. This episode of Tech News Today brought to you by Slingbox. Slingbox lets you watch your home TV anywhere you go on most any portable device. We're talking iPhones, iPod Touch, Blackberries, laptops, MacBooks. Here's how it works. You go to Best Buy. You purchase the Slingbox they're bringing home. Hook it up to your TV and hook it up to your internet connection. Then you can watch your TV on your mobile phone, on your laptop, wherever you go. Watch whatever you want from your home TV. Now, this is live programs on your TV, so sports shows that you might not be able to get if you're traveling and in an area where it's not being shown. Pre-recorded
like
stuff.
Well, tonight, for instance, Caprica is the premiering on the Sci-Fi Network. I would normally have to figure out, like, well, how can I watch it here in the hotel? Or maybe I won't go get dinner. But I don't have to do that because I've got Slingbox. So it's recording on my DVR back in San Francisco. I just pop it up on my laptop when I get home tonight after being out with some friends in the hotel room. Can watch it off the DVR.
It is the perfect example because this device was made for road warriors. You know, otherwise you get into a hotel and what are you going to do? Watch the marathon of Law and Order again? Okay, I'm down for that. I do that. But, you know, I would much prefer to watch the shows that I record. And so, Tom, you are a living example of Slingbox in action. Again, we want to thank our folks at Sling. And what you got to do is just go check them out at a Best Buy or go to sling.com and use the code TNT or TWIT, and you will be benefiting our show. Thank you, Sling. All right. So many wars today. Browser wars now. Basically, it goes like this. Internet Explorer is bleeding market share. Chrome triples their market share. This is from StatCounter. And what they say is 2 years ago, Internet Explorer had basically two-thirds of the global market. Now, they're just under half. Firefox, roughly a third of the market share. And Chrome usage tripling since last year, up to 11.5%. Do we see IE9 changing this trajectory at all?
It's, you know what? They can't get it out there fast enough. I don't know if you've used it. I've used IE9. I mean, they took a close look at Chrome. It's a remarkable difference from an interface perspective, from a speed perspective. But, you know, when you have a product, even if it's a free one, that has a bad reputation, it can take so long to overcome that no matter what you do. A good example is Norton security software, which everyone hates, except, you know, because it made systems really slow, except they re-architected the whole thing. It's much better. No one cares. They still say the same thing about it. So, you know, I think Microsoft cannot go fast enough here. But I would say, you know, I looked at those numbers, and I guess I feel a little bit like you have to be careful with browser market share numbers. Everybody has different numbers. It's all kind of local, too, because certain websites have different numbers as well. But the trend that they're pointing out is definitely right. Chrome is getting big pickup, even though it doesn't work perfectly on all websites, not even as well as some of the competitors. But they are going fast. They are getting big.
I think that's a good point, Lance. But you also have consider that even if the numbers are skewed, the fact that IE went below 50% on anybody's numbers is kind of a watershed moment that I think if you'd asked us 5 to 8 years ago if that was going to happen, we would have said, no way. There's no way Internet Explorer could ever go below 50%. And we didn't see Chrome coming. And that is exactly what's happening.
You know, it makes me feel like, I'm sure you remember when Netscape sort of tipped the other way. I mean, Netscape seemed like this unshakable thing. And now it's literally gone. And, you know, it almost, for an odd reason, scares me. I have no particular stake in Internet Explorer, but it's sort of this important part of Internet history now. And it's hard to imagine it going in that direction. And I got to tell you, Microsoft must be, you know, there's got to be people screaming their heads off out at, you know, Redmond right now. I know these guys. And they are measuring this by the second. You wonder if a report like this could, you know, really change even the release schedule. And they can say, you know what, throw this thing out there. You know, we said it's beta. It's live. It's live. And we're going to update it every 5 seconds. We can beat Google at their own game.
Well, what they're doing with IE9 is good because it's a strong release. And that is going to at least maybe stem the tide. I don't know if it could turn the tide, though, because of history. But if it can at least get people off of IE6, I'd bless it right there. Yeah. I like it. I think it's a really strong browser. I enjoy using it.
We're never giving up IE6. We're never giving up Windows 95. We're going to still use Windows 3.1. Leave us alone.
Right.
Well, turning the tide on anti-piracy efforts in this next story, Tom, you'll like this one. You guys remember the ACS law story in the UK. This is the law firm that mocked 4chan. 4chan didn't like the company's anti-piracy efforts or the mockery, so they went to the ACS law servers. They dug up an unencrypted document with the names of alleged porn downloaders. Everybody from ACS law got in trouble and some of the ISPs. Now, other ISPs are banding together to avoid this mess, and led by the UK's PlusNet Chief Operating Officer Richard Fletcher, they're saying, no, we're going to take those subpoenas when you guys want to ask us about any anti-piracy efforts you're doing. We're just going to say, no, this is too much of a liability. He's petitioned the court to examine the process of data collection methods and the liability issues. And the court says, yeah, good idea. Let's take 3 months and do just that. Tom, do you see this as a major step in sort of slowing the process on this?
Well, I think it's something we should have expected in some form, that an unworkable process like we have, where an industry is trying to force an old way of doing things into a new model, is going to run into all kinds of issues like this. And for a while, it looked like, the ISPs are caving. They're going to go along. We're going to roll back time. It's going to fight against the way the internet works, until the ISPs realized, well, wait a minute. Security problems happen. This is not a good thing for our customers. It's not a good thing for our business. And so you see them starting to wake up and go, hold on, we need to find a better way of doing this. And there are better ways of doing this than running some sort of racket that goes around and tries to sue grandparents and children. That's not going to solve the problem.
What will solve the problems of your not knowing what's going on in the tech world is the News Fuse. Best Buy in Staten Island got caught offering to upgrade a new PS3's firmware for an extra $30. According to Engadget, they even offered to upgrade.
Is that all?
Yeah, and they'll even do an old PS3 for $30. But the problem, those who don't own a PS3, you should know that firmware upgrades involve pushing one, two, maybe three buttons, and they're prompted and often mandatory. Nice try, Best Buy. Western Digital announced a 3-terabyte drive today. The drive connects by USB 3.0, and Western Digital claims transfer speeds of up to 150 megabytes a second. That means a 2-hour video could transfer in just 3 minutes, smoking fast.
Just need to get that USB 3.0 port on your PC.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, but if you're going to get the drive, you might as well upgrade the whole computer. What the heck?
All right, go the whole way.
Wow. The iPad shaping up to be the most successful non-phone electronic device ever. You alluded to this earlier, Lance. Bernstein Research estimates its current sales rate at about 4.5 million units per quarter. This blows past the 1 million units the iPhone sold in its first quarter and the 350,000 units sold in the first year by DVD players, the previous most quickly adopted non-phone electronic product. You own one, right?
I do. And, you know, it's almost the phenomenon is outstripping what I thought it could do. But I have to say, love the device. I just taught myself how to draw on it properly the other night. It's so versatile. And this is why, you know, like we said, if you don't deliver something better than the iPad, I don't think you should really show up at the game.
Yeah, the tablet-o-rama at CES will be interesting.
Ooh, can't wait.
The One Laptop Per Child organization is famous for their affordable laptop efforts. Well, they received a grant of $5.6 million to develop a tablet version of the educational computer it's so famous for. The money comes from chipmaker Marvell, which became a supporter and sponsor of OLPC in early 2009. OnLive, the cloud-based gaming service, has announced it will not charge a monthly fee for access to the service. The company feels it can make enough money charging per game as opposed to charging a blanket fee to use the service. Previously, OnLive charged $5 a month plus extra fees per game. The U.S. Patent Office has issued a patent to Google for its targeted video advertising invention. Among other things, the patent proposes having viewers take 5 to 10 minutes to fill out a consumer survey and perhaps provide additional information, such as mailing address, before starting the program. To avoid
patent something filling out a survey.
Leave it to Google. That's all I can say. As another alternative, by the way, the patent continues, the broadcaster may offer the user an option to pay $2, such as through a micropayment system, such as GBuy, to exchange for skipping all the commercials. Finally, a teenager in the UK has been jailed for 16 weeks after he refused to give police the password to his computer. 19-year-old Oliver Drage was arrested in May 2009 by police tackling child sexual exploitation issues. They seized his computer but could not access material on it as it had a 50-character encryption password. Drage was convicted of failure to disclose an encryption key, which police said is an offense under the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act 2000. We have another sponsor we'd like to thank today, Carbonite, the leader in online backup. Leo is such a fan of Carbonite, and he has convinced me, convinced a lot of people that this is something to try and that online backup is just a good thing to do. You never know when you're going to get a virus. You never know when you're going to have hard drive failure. I don't want to name names, but I saw one of my ex-Tech TV cohorts had lost a drive the other day, and she hadn't backed it up, and it was going to cost her a bunch of money. All the photos from the family were on the drive, and she was sending it off to the tune of a couple $100 and wishing that she had installed Carbonite and had that backing up automatically. And that's the thing. I'll use the infomercial terminology I love. Set it and forget it. It does it automatically. It stores your data. It stores your files. It stores your photos off-site. And once you set it up, it is done. So here's the deal. Unlimited backup for your PC or Mac, $55 a year. That's 15 cents a day. Try it free. Go to Carbonite.com. Enter the offer code TNT, like, you know, TNT. You got it. If you decide to buy the service after the trial, you get 2 months free with that offer code, TNT. No credit card required for the free trial. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code TNT. Thank you, Carbonite.
I can use it on the road as well because of the access to your files.
That's right.
All the files that are backed up from home, I can get on the road too.
It's a cloud service, if you will. Now this morning,
too bad it can't allow me to connect by Skype.
Oh, it can't do everything for you, Tom.
No, neither can any of the actual carriers that provide data service.
Well, we're glad to have you back, bud, because a very important story I'm about to tell you. Toasted skin syndrome. Yes, you heard me right. Laptops in your lap. A case review came out yesterday. A 12-year-old boy who was gaming with a big, you know, full-power gaming PC, had it on his lap. And the mottled skin, the patterning, the hyperpigmentation, went to the doctor. What was it? Toasted skin syndrome. Yes. The temperatures on your laptop reaching 125 degrees. Toasted skin syndrome has not been a common issue since blacksmithing was a popular profession. This was something that happens. It doesn't have to burn you. That's the difference. It doesn't have to burn you. It just has to be warm or hot on your skin. And if it's over a repeated period of time, you can get a pattern. It looks like someone cooked a waffle on your leg. It does. Somebody cooked a waffle on this kid's leg.
I'm thinking that it maybe the kid was wearing corduroy. You know, it probably conducts. You know, those old channels. And yeah, this reminded me of that, you know, the hot laptops affecting male reproduction. I'm sure you heard that about that a few years ago. That was a very big deal. Temperatures on laptops are over 100 degrees in some cases. And, I don't know if it was ever proven, but it sounds like you're starting that process if you're an avid gamer when you're very young.
This is going to lead to a decline in gamer reproduction, I think, is what you're saying. Basically, if you're not supposed to go in a hot tub before you try and get pregnant, then maybe, guys, you should, you know, at least do, you know, gaming on a desk. I'm just thinking, right?
I want to know why this suddenly became a news story. Is there a rising tide of it? Because I actually had this on my leg because I used to sit my MacBook Pro on my lap when I was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden I started to notice it was a little red, and I thought, oh, am I getting some weird thing? So I went to the doctor, and they're like, Do you sit near a radiator? We see this a lot in old people when they sit near the radiator. And I was like, oh, you know what? It's my laptop. They're like, oh, stop setting your laptop on your leg. It'll go away.
Tom, like, no idea. According to the stats, there have been only 10 reported cases since 2006. I think the important thing is reported. I didn't know you were the 11th reported case.
Well, maybe I'm one of the 10. I don't know. Yeah, I'm patient zero.
You've been outed.
Contagious.
All right. Well, you've been.
Well, really, I bet there's a lot of people who don't go to the doctor. They just think like, "Wow, my leg's getting red," and they put two and two together, and they're just like, "Oh, it's probably, you know, from sitting a freaking hot laptop." We'll stop that.
It doesn't have to be burning. I thought that was interesting. It can just be warm, and it's kind of like a sunburn, right? Like it radiates.
It's just sweat and the fabric. It creates an irritation.
Yeah.
It's like
they said, they see it a lot in older people who sit near the radiator because they're cold, and they're not burning. It's just that they're near a heat source repeatedly, and it stimulates the blood vessels, so you get a little redness. It actually isn't damaging anything. It's just the blood vessels are overreacting because they're heated all the time.
So Lance, I didn't realize I was on the show The Doctors.
Yeah, it is. Actually, Dr. Oz is coming right in here, and then the plastic surgeon lady will be in right after. Yeah, lucky you. You know, we do have one other important thing to mention.
On the podcast.
Yes, that's right, on a podcast. You're a doctor. Tony Curtis, may he rest in peace. Resting in peace with his iPhone. Did you guys read this? He's being buried with a hat and other things that he felt were really close to his heart. Tony Curtis, an iPhone? Really?
I had no idea. I don't even know what to say about that story. I mean, there are a lot of jokes and most of them are wrong. So
buried with a Stetson hat, an Armani scarf, driving gloves, and an iPhone. Well, That's one for the record books. Coming up, we have the calendar here. So Facebook event, 10 a.m. Wednesday. What do you guys think it's going to be an announcement of?
No, I actually don't know. I didn't expect anything to come up. I'm caught a little off guard here. People have joked, oh, the CEO is going to announce he's stepping down. There's been a rash of that.
CEO Orama. Yep.
We'll be on the scene. We'll have somebody there. We're going to try and figure it out. You know, they've been announcing some pretty significant stuff. Could it be the Facebook phone?
Huh. You never know. We're not making a phone, Facebook phone. Could be, there's also some rumor it could be events, something tying into an upgrade for their events feature. We'll see. That's 10 a.m. Wednesday. Tomorrow we have Cisco is announcing something. We think that has to do with the TV, living room stuff going on. Not exactly sure there what they're doing. And we have Logitech unveiling their Google TV product tomorrow. So tomorrow's going to be a lot of big stuff going on.
Is the day.
Yeah. The T-Mobile G2 pre-orders halted. They say that it's been such a popular phone and so many orders coming down that they have stopped taking any pre-orders. It may still be available in retail outlets. Best Buy saying they're going to have it. AT&T rolling out three new Android phones, the Bravo, which is touch only, the Flip Out, and the Flip Side. Now, one of those flip phones, it's like a square thing. It almost looks like a Kin with a Flip Out QWERTY keyboard. So that's from AT&T with a couple new Android phones. That is the calendar. Now on to the voicemail. This first one from Alexander Marshitz. He says, Zuckerberg's name controversy. We've been talking about this, Lance, whether it means Sugar Mountain or Sugar Castle. And we had a Swede call in with a video yesterday saying, oh, no, it's Castle, Sugar Castle. And this caller says, don't let a Swede decide.
Really? A Swedish meatball is correcting me in my mother language? Listen, Swedie. Swedie, fine. Listen, Zuckerberg, when you hear it in German, means nothing. Zucker, not a word. Berg, not a verb. It's like barfing. Berg. So, the only important thing is, in German, how do you read it? And you read it, sugar and castle. That's it, IKEA man. I have spoken in German.
Wow. I just can't get enough of that guy. That was awesome. Okay, so he says it's Sugar Castle, not Sugar Mountain. And the controversy rages on.
Sugar lips.
Ooh, I think you should refer to him as such if you ever get the opportunity. Double dog dare you. Hey, guys, I'm a huge fan. You make my drive a lot better. I have a question. First, I'm a Canadian truck driver that drives primarily in the States. I have an iPhone with a Canadian service provider, Rogers Wireless, until I come into the States. But once I cross the border, I start jumping from provider to provider, primarily AT&T, but also T-Mobile, Unicell, and at least once Verizon. Because of this, I rarely lose service. Now, my question is, do your USA provider phones switch in certain areas? And if not, then maybe a Canadian phone plan might be a way to beat AT&T's service problems that I keep hearing about, as long as you don't mind a little bit higher rate. Thanks for a great informative show. Keep up the great work. Jeff Delahunt in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. What do you think? Is that a workaround?
I don't know. Maybe you first go to Canada. You drive up into Canada. You take your phone that's not signed up. Sign up with Rogers. But then I don't know. I mean, you know, that may also see, the thing is, the phones that are delivered in other countries, the iPhones that are delivered in other countries, I'm not entirely sure that it's all the same inside. You know, the fact that it could do that hopping, you know, that it's not locked into a carrier, I don't know. I think you have to buy the phone up in Canada.
Maybe this is like a new business model. You know how people drive up to Canada to get the cigarettes and what have you when you live on the East Coast? Well, maybe now they'll drive up and get the iPhones. And maybe they'll even have special iPhones on the reservations that get like really good service. I think we've figured it out.
It's not so easy to get to Canada anymore. You need your passport and...
Not like it was when I was in college. Oy, I don't want to think about that. On show number 87, you guys talked about the impending Google TV announcement and speculated that Logitech, Sony, Google, etc. might release potentially buggy products. While at Cedia 2010, Dish Network was showing off a new satellite receiver with Google TV built in. And while trying it, only for a few minutes, I didn't notice any glaringly obvious bugs and came away impressed. Love the show. That's from Ian McCandless. Have you gotten to play with anything or seen it much, Lance? What are your expectations for Google TV?
You know, I was just at a little event from Best Buy where I got a look at, again, it was pre-production. It was in some sort of box. It was connected to a Sony TV, and it looked really good. It looked interesting, seamless, which is really the whole idea of Google TV. Make it seamless between the web and your television viewing experience. But we need to see a finished product. We need to see the size. We need to see how easy it is to use the interface. And also, I believe the interface is going to be the same across any product, but I'm not entirely certain of that. So I think I'm going to learn a lot tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be very, very elucidating in terms of what their plans are for the future. Well, that's it for this show. I'm going to say bye on behalf of my co-host, Tom Merritt, who has been on and off with the Skype. God bless him for trying. Lance Ulanoff of PC Mag, thanks so much for joining us. You can find his work at PCMag.com. He's also at Lance Ulanoff at Twitter. I'm at B. Worley on Twitter, and you can harass me via that vehicle anytime you like at B. Worley. Thanks so much for watching, you guys. This has been Tech News Today.